all of our values are different. I mean, some people want excitement, some people want security, some people want to continue to grow. Whatever that value system is for you, figure out what that is and try to live in alignment with that.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, we are here with our good friends, Gino and Julia Barbaro from the Jake and Gino crew. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Jamie.
Yeah, great.
Doing, Jamie?
Will you say your last name for us so I can hear you say it?
Barbaro.
Barbaro.
So I've been saying it wrong for 5 years.
I thought so, but I just wanted to.
I like Barbaro, Barbaro, you know, just what I call you anything you want. Yeah. Just don't call me late for dinner. Is that what they say?
So. Now, to give everyone context, this is even more pathetic because Gino and I shared an office together for 3 years in downtown St. Augustine. So it's like the fact that's pretty funny.
Well, it makes a good conversation.
And we've gone on vacation together. Like,
I had a feeling you're saying it wrong all these years. And so I just wanted to hear
the name. So everyone.
It's kind of fun when you don't, because then my kids are like, what did he say?
So all six kids have been laughing at me the last 5 years.
Join the club. They ain't going to be laughing at you. They've been laughing at me, too, for the last 20 years plus. So
taking some heat off you, G. That's all.
I bet we'll hang up and you'll be like, I think their name sounds better the way I say it.
I might call back and negotiate you guys to change.
I know how you work.
Right.
Hey, that's how they said it at our wedding. So I think that's okay. Yeah.
See, I had that intuition. Yeah. It was all intuition. Aww. So either way, we love you guys. And obviously you've been a big part of our life. We've spent vacations together. Gino and I have had countless hours masterminding together and all sorts of things. But I think one of the things I wanted to start with today is something a lot of people go through, and that's making the move and breaking tradition. And you guys have a really, really cool story around that. And I think it's something that could inspire a lot of people. So do you want to kind of talk about where you guys came from and the tradition you broke and making the big move? I just think it's such a cool, inspiring story.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. I got the nod from my husband. It was interesting because we lived in Mayapack, New York, upstate New York, about an hour from the city. My husband had a restaurant with his family, very close Italian family who worked together, and you do not leave. It was a big deal. Okay. But over the years, what I saw, and I can tell you from my side, and my husband will tell you from his side, what I noticed is him, who'd come home from work late nights, long days, weekends, holidays. I mean, he missed pretty much every party we had. And he just looked completely exhausted, like completely done for the day. And I just watched it for years and years. And after a while, he got into real estate little by little, and he would come home, he would, you know, visit with us, and he would go into the office. He met Jake. He would talk to Jake a little bit about, you know, what the plan is about Jake and Gino, about how to educate and buy multifamily. Now, one of the things I noticed, and this is really, really important, is I watched him educate himself. He wasn't coming home from the restaurant just complaining, because he did do a little bit of that, which I'll give into him because it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But he was doing something. I don't know where it was going to lead. I don't think he did either. But it was the day when he came home where I remember him clearly coming in from the garage, taking his work outfit off, filthy as anything, sitting on the couch with me. And the face that he had was just like defeated. And he said to me, what if we sell the restaurant and move to Florida? And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a big ask, you know?
Big or go home. That's what they say.
Yeah, so that's going big, that's for sure.
But there's this moment when someone asks you a question, before we actually answer it, there's this moment of silence in your thoughts. It's interesting because it almost seems like 5 minutes went by, but it was just probably 5 seconds. And I was thinking like, well, what about the rest of our family? You're asking me to leave everything, everyone we know, you know, everything's familiar, to go somewhere completely foreign. We didn't know anything. We didn't know anyone. But I watched him, and I think that's really important. And so the only thing I could say is, well, of course, yes, of course, we'll go. And it was a big process because now you have the children, you have the rest of your life who is also affected. Everyone in your life is affected. And it's, I think, the approach that we had. And I kind of want to talk about that for a second, because with the children, I think we did it correctly, but with everyone else, we didn't. Because with the kids, we explained. We're like, listen, dad's having a hard time. What we want to do, we need a separation. We're going to move to Florida. And we talked about all the great things and all how we were going to be a family and try new things and kind of like a new adventure. And they were pretty much on board, I have to say. It was very difficult for many years. They cried many nights. Yeah. But they understood, if that makes sense. They understood that Dad needed a change. But with everyone else we told, for some reason, we're just like, oh, yeah, we just want to change. And a lot of people got insulted, like really badly. It was very interesting.
You were changing away from them.
Exactly. Family got insulted. Yes.
And I think there is a special contingent on this too, to the Northeast. I don't know, because, you know, I left and went to California before coming to Florida. And something about the tri-state area, when you're leaving, people are like, you're just leaving? It's like you're abandoning it. You're leaving your family. You're not going to be near them. It's almost like you're switching planets.
I feel like you know you're on the right path if not everyone agrees.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, like you kind of know, wow, this is authentic to me and what I'm doing, right? Because not everyone sees it. How old were your children at the time?
So our oldest had just graduated high school, and then the youngest was three.
Three? Okay.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, it was traumatizing, and it really is. But we're all together. And I think that's the important part, is that it's important for them. And again, I made a lot of mistakes. I just try to pretend everything was fine. But it's really helpful if the kids see you as the mom struggling too. And they see you miss everybody and miss just being familiar about where you live, going to the grocery store, seeing those regular people. All of that stuff is new now. And so it's good for the kids to know that you're also struggling, but we're in it together.
Yeah. Jim and Jamie, I just wrote some notes down here as my wife is talking, because this is really important. I mean, this is the topic. First of all, I wasn't in the mafia. It wasn't La Cosa Nostra where they whack me. I mean, that's what they do in La Cosa Nostra. So I felt that way. I thought my mom was
going to actually fortunate.
Me. You know, maybe throw the shoe across the room. That's what I was afraid of more than anything. But first thing, it's values-based decision-making. I know, you know, we all know Rick Sapia, right? And to me, I've really gravitated towards that. I didn't understand that intuitively in the beginning, but why did I hate the restaurant? Why anyone listening to this? Why do they hate their current situation? They're not living their life in accordance with their values. Now, what do I mean by that? I was working on the weekends. I would go on Christmas Eve at 6 a.m, get home at 10 at night. Every summer, we'd have parties of 60 people. They'd all be eating on Gino's dime. How does that make me feel? I'm not there and everyone's having fun on my dime year after year. But whose fault is that? That's my fault. It's not everyone else's fault. I was the provider. My values were not in alignment with what I wanted to do. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is I needed to have boundaries. After I left the restaurant and I was still there for a year, my mom would say, hey, Gino, you live 5 minutes away. You're not really doing anything. Stop on by and work a little bit. It's very hard to say no to an Italian mother because she's provided my whole life. It's difficult. So those boundaries, I couldn't set those proper boundaries with her. So I just decided I have to pick up and leave. And I think this is probably the most controversial thing I'll say for parents, but it's really important. Your happiness and our happiness, I think, supersedes our children's happiness. Yes. If you're complaining and you're sticking up in New York because your kid's in high school and you can't leave and you're making that excuse, shame on you if you're hearing this, because you need to hear some tough love right now. If you're not happy, you're dragging the family down. You need to have a great relationship. It all starts at the top. Look at every organization. If there's not happiness and there's not cohesion and you're not living a life full of values, then it all trickles down. And, you know, for my older kids, they freaking loved it. My younger kids loved it. The two middle children, they struggled a little bit. But, you know, God provided for us. 2 years later, COVID hits. I'm down here. My kids are like so thankful. Dad, thank God we're here. We can go to the beach. We can do what we want. So to recap everything I've said, everybody, in a nutshell, it's values-based decision-making. Mm-hmm. Flush out what your values are. All of our values are different. I mean, some people want excitement. Some people want security. Some people want, you know, to continue to grow. Whatever that value system is for you, figure out what that is and try to live in alignment with that. And when I realized that, I'm like, thank God I am not living in New York anymore, because my values do not align with the government up there. They don't align with their thought process. We homeschool our kids and everything's so different. Now that I made the transition down here, I think we've been much happier in my personal life as well as our professional lives. Even with you guys, it's flourished. We've realized that. And once you start living in alignment with that, success is great. But the feeling you get from doing things and living that life of fulfillment and values will just make your life even that much better. You agree?
That's so well said. And I do think, like, as you said, everything comes from the top down. And so your happiness then flows into the other ones, and your core values really aligned the rest of your family up to for success. Because if you came down here, you weren't available, you were angry, it would really have affected affected everybody else. But mm-hmm. with you being probably more present, more playful, mm-hmm. it just changed everything. And I'm sure too for your marriage.
Oh, 100%. It was a little bit of a stress. I could go there because there was a moment in time where he found some friends. Jim, you were one of those. And he found some buddies that he was hanging out and working with. And for a minute there, I felt so lonely. I'm like, wait, what did we do? And it was a few months of trying to figure out my place. And I would hide it. I didn't tell anybody about it. My kids didn't see it, but I think they do pick up on that. And so it does. You do, every situation you're put in is this opportunity to grow. And we have to be aware of that. And that was a huge growth for me and my husband. Huge.
Yeah.
So that was great.
I love how you're talking about the growth was imperfect. Because one thing Jamie and I have said is, I will say to especially the older boys, hey, I'm really struggling with this right now. We're going through this change in the business and that. We don't paint like everything's fine. Everything's good. You know, that was kind of the Irish Catholic way up north. You know, your arm could be falling off and it was like, we're good. It's fine. It's just an arm. It's falling off. And I think the good thing is now our kids, when they start to struggle, they're going to feel normal. They're like, well, mom and dad did pretty good and they were good people and they struggled. But if they never saw that and then all of a sudden they're feeling this confusion and lost feeling, they might be like, something's wrong with me.
You know? Even for them to know too, that if they ever choose one day that they want to separate from us and find their own path, that's totally okay too.
Yeah.
And it's just such an example of teaching that empathy to them, but also teaching them to choose themselves as you chose yourself. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. And even in the relationship too, to see that my husband and I, because a lot of couples want to be perfect at home and the kids don't see any kind of issue and they grow up thinking marriage is easy or the opposite. And I think it's good for them to see that we do argue a little bit and we figure it out. We talk about it and then we move on. Do you know what I mean? They need to see stuff like that. And I think, but again, it's trial and error a lot of times. Sometimes it takes you 25 years to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, you and Jamie could go bowling together because I take that really hard, Julia.
I always go bowling. You know what?
That's the old saying. Gino got it. You two should go bowling.
We could go for coffee, Jamie. Yes.
All right, you guys should go for coffee.
I do way better things than bowl.
So, but my point was, I'll take it really hard.
I'll be like, really hard.
An argument. What are we doing? We're supposed to be being family leaders and setting a good example. She's like, we have arguments, we fall apart, we come back together. That's life.
Absolutely.
And she's been a great teacher for me on that, where I would be super hard on myself. Like,
I mean, how boring life would be. How boring your marriage would be, Jim, if you didn't argue. Really.
You know, our friend Rick calls, a leadership class I was in Texas. It was called Creative Tension. It's like a suspension bridge. You know, what gives strength to the suspension bridge is tension.
Yeah.
So you can drive across it. And that's where we get to newer heights. And you guys like to go from New York to here with a whole new career and a way more successful business. I mean, there's no comparison of old business to new business. Not
And Jim, with those values, once again, we have long-termism. I mean, you do too. If you're thinking about long-termism, we have the 100-year real estate investor and you're thinking out 100 years. When you have an argument, you're not going to go run and get divorced, right? You're thinking about, oh, this is one argument. How do we get it better? How do we make it better? And having that growth mindset, let's figure it out. So I think that's what's
really important. Well, we have to get to the point where when we do have an argument, in the middle of the argument, think, wow, we're going to grow from this one. And it puts your mind on the, wow, this is part of our growth, of our marital growth. At the end of this, we're going to be closer. Every time we have a disagreement.
As you see, I'm trying to pull business in here, but she always pulls me back to the relationship thing, Jim. So I will keep the relationship thing going.
It is a yin and yang.
It really is. And you're talking about core values and you're talking about boundaries and you're talking, we want our kids to be in our business, right? We want our kids to be involved. But at the same time, I think there has to be a boundary there as well. And sometimes I forget that boundary because I'm excited. I love what I'm doing. I haven't been there. And one thing that I should have mentioned before, the other reason, the values, and with our children, I wanted my kids to see that hard work can be fun. I wanted my kids to see that work, you can actually impact others. And at the restaurant, I didn't feel as if I was impacting enough people and I wasn't the role model that I wanted to be. So can you imagine coming home every day, like she said, sitting on the couch and feeling like a failure, not because I'm not providing, I'm making a pretty good salary up there, but I'm saying to myself, I don't want my kids to see me like this. I want to be a role model for them. I want them to really enjoy work. I want them to find something where they impact others. And I mean, what kind of role model am I if I'm not doing that myself?
Well, you did show that you worked hard. And I think your work ethic was huge. And that's something to remember.
But it wasn't the right work. It was the work ethic, but it was just working, just for the simple of working and making money. I didn't want that to be the legacy, you know?
And those BS detectors. All kids have a good bullshit detector. Oh, and they know, Gino, you could not have, and I know how honest you are, you couldn't look them in the eye and say, guys, I'm pursuing my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't have done it. But what do we say as parents? We want you to pursue our dreams, you know, put your talents to work, make an impact. Right. But if we're not doing it, can we really say that with a conviction? Probably.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. I never thought of it that way, but that is so true because you want your kids to find what makes them happy. And how are they going to find what makes them happy if I'm not happy at what I'm doing? So how can I tell them to do that? And that was probably the hardest thing now that I reflect back on that. And that's probably to answer your question coming full circle. That's why we made the move. I want to do something different. I wanted to change our lives up.
That was also the best way for me to explain it. And I noticed that this is the biggest thing that they were okay with when I said, Dad needs a change. And I left it at that. And they just thought about it. And they're like, oh, okay. That was it. That's all they needed to hear, you know?
Interesting to be so vulnerable with our children and honest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just think that that teaches them, as you said, you know, we're not perfect and we're not superheroes. Yeah. We also have these big feelings. And I think, like you said, even if you don't express them, they know them and they can feel them. And then if we don't come out and share them, then maybe they internalize them like, oh, mom must be cranky with me because she's
exactly
all those things. So wow, love it. And now you guys are so integrated the same way that we are. You mentioned boundaries and it's hard sometimes because you're working together and you're playing together and you're homeschooling together. And much like us, you had a studio in your home and this is in our home. This is in between our living room and our pool. Yes. I mean, it couldn't be a worse location for recording.
But it's pretty.
Like but it's perfect.
I love it. It's a great look.
We just have to threaten everybody before we get out.
Yes, I get it.
And so homeschooling everyone, how is that? You've always homeschooled everyone.
Always. That That's okay. Right. Yeah.
And you've always been the leader.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And how do you work? And Gino, because I know you step in and teach the children lessons. Does that come later? How do you guys?
I haven't done that in a while, Jamie. Since we moved down here, I took a step back and I don't know why. Maybe I needed a break from it. But I think the important thing is that my wife had a vocation. And early on in her marriage, in our marriage, she said, I want to stay home with the kids. And with the commitment, there comes sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And for the last 20 something years, she sacrificed a lot. I mean, nursing kids while cooking 2 loads of laundry a day, cooking 3 meals a day, teaching the kids. And that was the sacrifice that she made. And now the proof is in the pudding. Because for all of you moms that stay at home, that's one of the hardest jobs you can do because it's thankless for the first 15 or 16 years. There's no one telling you you're doing a great job. But as your kids get older, make that commitment, make that sacrifice if it's out there. And that's what life's all about. It's all about making a commitment. And then there's things you're going to have to give up to get that. Napoleon Hill says that. What are you giving up to make that? Or what are you putting into that to make that? And fortunately for us, it really worked out. And now she's able to come back to work with me. I mean, kids are older now, so she can spend more time working with us. But she really sacrificed early on for that. And the irony is that you guys were talking about how being vulnerable, no one ever really knew that we had struggles because my wife never really complains to everybody. Everyone thought we had this picturesque house and this all this stuff. And we just never complained to everyone. We complained to ourselves and our kids knew about it. But I think if you want to put that out to people and be the victim, you're not going to attract great friends. It's just not who we are as well. So we had our struggles. But I mean, for her to sacrifice that and to stay home, she was really crystal clear on what she wanted as a vocation.
But at the same time, it was super challenging. And I say that because every year I would question, what am I doing? Am I doing a good enough job? I mean, really hard on myself to the point where, you know, I would threaten the kids, if you don't behave,
see that bus
that's stopping across the street, you're going to be on that.
I heard that every day for like the first 10 years. It was just
because you question your capability of teaching children and watching them and taking care of the home and then your husband. It's just, it's a lot. And you don't think you do a good enough job. The time where I realized that I think I succeeded was when Gabriella, who is now 23, got accepted to college. And so it took me 15, 16 years to actually say, oh, I think I did it.
Only, I got this down. 15 years to give yourself a little credit. That's not
too long. And I remember my husband and I sat there. I'm like, oh my gosh, did she really get in? what's happened? But it's normal to do that. I've never met a homeschool mom. Maybe Jamie, you are the one, but to say that I'm doing a good job and everything's great and I got it together and I got everything set. No, because we want the best for our kids. We want them to get the best education. We want them to share the values that we have and be responsible and all that. And so it's all on us. And we worry every day that we're failing them. And so we question it over and over again. But it took me a long time to realize that, you know what? It works out. You just being home with your kids and loving them is really what they need. The education is important, but there's something more important than that.
Well, I think something we've dealt with in our heads too is this ingrained mindset. Look, let's face it, you don't follow traditional education. You're a communist. Like, there's something wrong with you. Right. And that's kind of ingrained in you. Like, you're not following the school system, then you're going to fail. You're in the wrong.
You can never be adequate.
Yeah, you're not adequate. You're not going to do your kids right. And now I'm sure it was a long first battle for you, but the more we move away from traditional education, the more we kind of laugh that we were actually scared to. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys.
Absolutely.
It does. The word education, it comes from the Latin word educare, which means to draw out. And the public school system, I challenge everyone listening to this. Are they drawing anything out of our kids? Or are they filling them with ideology, with other crap that they think they should learn? So for us, some of our kids are really great at athletics. Some of our kids are great at singing. Some of our kids are great all of a sudden at science. Find out what they great, what they love. Mm-hmm. And I think what I want my children to do is to be happy and to really enjoy reading and enjoy learning, because learning is lifelong. You know, commencement is what we do in college after we graduate. Commencement just means to start. You graduated college. Now it's start. You start to learn. And I think I don't want to beat my kids and have them in school for 8 hours and then they come home and do another 2 hours of homework. That's like what I was doing at the restaurant. It's like a 10-hour day. It's a full-time job. And I just want everyone to think about that for a while. Within 2 to 3 hours, Jamie and Julia can have their day wrapped up.
And we can have coffee.
We can have coffee.
Or go bowling. I'm just saying.
Or go bowling. But it's just an alternative. And Jim, the last thing I'll say is people see the world as they are, not as it is. And, you know, you might be hearing this conversation going, I could never do that. That's not me. Trust me.
Well, during COVID, I have to say, you know, and Jamie, maybe you also, because I've heard my whole adult life, I could never homeschool. I don't have the patience. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the education, the whole thing. I don't either. And that's what I learned. That's how I found how to be patient. That's how I learned how to teach. That's how I learned through my children. And I think that's important. But when COVID came, everyone had a homeschool, and it made me giggle a little bit because I'm like, look, you can do it. Everyone can do it. And I found a lot of people loved it and they understood. They're like, I get it. There's a connection with my kids that I didn't have before. The siblings are getting along. I guess they fight, but there's a connection that they didn't have because they were separated. The family is literally separated when they go to school.
Yeah. It's so interesting how that works. Like sometimes the more time you have with your children, the less irritating or overwhelming or inadequate or, you know, it's just so interesting how that happens. And I think the same thing happens with spouses.
Sure.
The more you learn and spend time together and invest, the greater it is, not the more annoying it is. And to revisit what you were saying, not airing your grievances about your spouse, people were like, oh, you have this perfect marriage. I quit getting invited to the like neighborhood moms groups because I really like my husband.
Yes.
And I wouldn't sit, even if we were fighting or what, or if my children were being annoying.
Right.
I don't complain about my children or my husband. Like I'm very much like you, Julie, in that. Yeah. And so I think that it sometimes isolates us as women because there's this whole
click.
Yeah.
Of being miserable in a family, in a marriage, and it doesn't have to be that way. So,
well, I challenge you, Jamie, because I've done this before. I never would have done this until recently to say something super kind and nice in front of a bunch of women and how much you love to be married. And it is very interesting because there's a lot of people that agree with you, but they're just afraid to be that person. And so I just learned, you know what? I'm going to just be the example. And it, little by little, people would be like, oh, that's real. Thank you for saying that. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't realize. I just thought it was everyone didn't like it either, but it's a little challenge for you.
Yeah.
Like that.
I want to talk about too, because I know there's, again, I can't stress enough the big change you guys made, career, family-wise, relationships, location. So you're starting from scratch for a new area with homeschooling, finding new areas. And Gino, you're starting really from scratch in a totally different arena with real estate. Give me the hardest part and the number one meat and potatoes tip for someone that's doing that.
We can overestimate what can be done in 1 year and vastly underestimate what we can do in 5 or 10 years. And for me in real estate, with most multifamily specifically, just a few seconds of business. You've got to plan
for
the long term.
It's a blended podcast. We're all integrated here. All you're fine. You're fine.
I just love teasing her. It's part of my, it's the thrill of my day. I just love it. And you have to think long term. And I think for most of us, we don't plan. If it doesn't happen next quarter or next year, we get let down. And for me, really thinking about the long term and planning it, I had started this plan. Proper planning prevents poor performance. And I had started before we left Florida, a few years before then, planting the seeds, going out, going to the podcast, reading the books, going on Bigger Pockets, doing underwritings, getting mentorships and putting all that hard work in. So then when it was time to transition, I was ready to go. And you don't have to burn the ships. I didn't burn the ships. I weaned myself off of the restaurant. In October of 2015, I said to my brother, I'm going to quit Monday through Friday. I'm going to do real estate full time. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to work at the restaurant. So for 6 months, my wife probably hated me. I wasn't around. It was a difficult 6 months, but I needed to know to myself that I could prove to myself that I can do this. I've got a family. I couldn't be irresponsible and say, I'm quitting, no plan. Let's just go out and make it happen. Yeah. I had to show to her that I was putting in the work. And then once that October ended, March of 2016, March 1st was my D-Day. I said, okay, Mark, I'm leaving the restaurant. Going to do real estate full time. So give yourself some time. You don't have to burn the bridges, but you have to figure out your behaviors are belief driven. If you think you can do it, then you're going to be able to do it. And I knew deep down after putting in the hard work and having her by my side and having her believe in me, I had to make it happen because she wasn't making excuses about the sacrifices. So once she gave me the nod and the go ahead to say, yep, let's do it. There was no more excuse making. I just had to set up a plan and figure that out.
Yeah, I never thought that about you, just to put that out there. But I think sometimes, Jamie and Jim, sometimes we worry about what other people think, about like what our decisions and how we raise our family. And we worry so much that our decisions change, that we actually make decisions based off what other people want us to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the number one issue that I had early on, because nobody really knew we homeschooled. I mean, we even had the babies at home. Everything was home. It was family love, you know? But I think that was really important that you have to be, I had to be sure what my reasons were. I had to know why I homeschooled. I had to know why I stayed home and raised a family. I had to know why we were leaving New York to come to Florida. And I had to be clear on my reasons, because when people would ask me, a lot of times they're like, oh, I don't know. And then they would try to talk you out of it. They would try to influence you. And so I learned that I had to be sure on what my reasons were and not worry about what other people thought about it. And you know, it's huge. And even with marriage, it's like Jamie was talking, you have to have reasons why you love your marriage. And you have to know what they are and ready to tell people when they ask.
Jim and Jamie, it was so awkward for me at the restaurant for years because I'm there, I'm cooking. I have a lot of clients, customers who are public school teachers, assistant principals and principals. And I'd always say, hey, where are your kids going to school? And I'm like, 31 Rose Street is where I live. I felt so awkward. And the other thing, the healthcare. So, you know, well, what hospital is your baby being born at? Baby's being born at home, my house. So I've had these awkward conversations and try to explain to people, but you really have to know what your values are. And we knew that we're homeschooling was right. My wife was really into her own health and she was really an advocate of that. So knowing that, we were really rock solid on those two foundations. And I think that carried over into the business.
And it goes back to what you're talking about, values, is when you're living according to your values, first of all, you have to know what they are. I never really thought about them until a couple of years ago, which is funny. And then I'm like, oh, do I make decisions for my family based on those? So then it was easier to talk to people about.
That makes total sense. I think that too, again, our kids watch.
Mm-hmm.
They watch. And even if they don't, like you said, well, I had this intuition that I was doing it, but I didn't really clearly understand it. I think that's starting to fester within them. And almost it's like a natural progression, because it's like, if my kids just make value-based decisions and follow the path they are choosing, not to please us or someone else or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but for them, that's all we can wish for. But the best odds of that happening is doing it ourselves.
Jim, can I share a story with both of you about our oldest daughter real quick?
Sure. Love it.
Yeah.
About values-based decision-making. When she went to college, she's going to Flagler. She was in theater and she wanted to get into that genre, into Hollywood. And I just felt like, I don't want you to get into that group. Didn't say anything. Sure. After about a year, she changed her major and she went into philosophy and religion. And she was thought that I'd be upset at her for doing that. And thankfully, I was like, yeah. And now she's living her best life. She's a missionary. She's up at Life Team.
Ah,
so
awesome.
She's following her path and what she loves to do. And I think now that I'm looking back, maybe making that move and saying, you need to be happy. You need to find what really drives you.
I have to put this out there because this is interesting.
She's touching the leg and I don't know what she's
saying. Hold on a second, because it's funny that we were talking earlier about us making the decision as parents. Here we need to tell his mom, we need to tell mom. And now our children are in that situation. They're grown up, right? So she'll be 23. she left for a year. And my husband's like, wait, what? You're going to be what? You're leaving? He was a little upset. I'm like, Gino.
I was.
Remember, you know, your whole story, because now it goes to our children. And it's very different when you're telling the story. And now you're watching your children say, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to be leaving for a year. And now we have to say, and I have to say, my husband had a harder time with it. I knew that was God's will for her. And I'm like, that's awesome. And she's like, you're not mad? I said, no. She's like, I was afraid to tell you. I say, Gabs, I know what you're doing is right. And she was so thankful, but she was worried to tell me. No matter what we teach our kids about, come to me and tell me whatever's wrong, they still are human and they still are worried that you're going to be upset or maybe talk them out of it. And it's just what it is. You know, you can't be perfect, but I thought that was interesting.
I wasn't mad.
You were like, wait, are you sure you're going to do that? You know, it's like having this conversation.
I think for dads, especially, there's two things that I think can dominate us. Yes. One that we all have to get over is that old mindset of ego, and that's control.
Right.
But a lot of times I think when we've worked on ourselves a lot, it's not as control so much as protection.
Yes.
Protection for dads, especially, it is such a strong thing. But I think sometimes the best way we can protect them is to support them on the path that truly is meant for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? And when you try to choose the path, from our retreats, guys, we've seen some nightmares of the first time a 16, 17-year-old standing up and going, I have no interest in this. And
the parents
going, really? And I'm like, gosh, that could be me. That could be Jamie. And it's like, we want to avoid that at all costs because we can run out of steam when we don't care about something. When we care about something, I mean, I'm going to say, Gino, your energy level and your creativity is 50 times greater than it was 10 years ago in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. It has to be. I'm just like, you know, with Alden now going into his own charter fishing career, he lights up. He's 18 and out of bed at 5:45 in the morning without an alarm. Like that has some good bones to it. So it's just, but it's tough. It's hard.
It's hard, but that's what you just mentioned it. You just said it. When you see your kids light up about something, you have to go with that. We have to be aware of what the kids light up. And so a lot of us are not in tune with the kids. We're like, oh, you'll love this. You'll love to read this book. You know, and the kids are like, ah, they're not interested. But when you see them light up, we have to go with that.
She's picking on my homeschooling ability. I want the kids when they're 8 years old to read The Richest Man in Babylon. It's not maybe appropriate for an 8-year old, but you know, I've learned.
We're currently reading that book in our house.
But you know, and it's funny you say that, Gino, but it does come back because we told the boys, look, let's do a family book this summer. What book do you want to do? And Alden said, hey, could we go back and read The Richest Man in Babylon? And Leland's like, yeah, that's a really good one.
But it's relevant to them right now.
Yeah, it's super relevant because they're both looking at their own business endeavors. Yes. So it does fester. It does start to fester.
It's hard, especially for you guys, because you have to be the leader, but at the same time, you have to be the guide. And then you have to pay attention to them and their interests. And so it's this balancing that you're trying to figure out. For me and Jamie, it's a little easier. We have a different intuition than you do.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
I agree 100%.
So I want to talk about the books that you wrote with the children.
Oh,
I think that's so much fun. So was that part of homeschooling? Is that part of starting a business? I want to know. I want to know all about it.
So my husband and I, through Jake and Gino, because he does the real estate, and I will sometimes we'll go to one of his boot camps and we'll talk about life coaching, marriage, relationships, all life coach stuff. And responsibility is really the key. And so we started with a gelato blast, and it's for 7 to 10-year-olds. And it's just something bad happens and you got to decide what to do. And it's for, you know, it's to have a conversation with children. Well, what would you do in this situation? If something bad happens, would you feel sorry for yourself way too long and just maybe watch TV and all these things? Or will you be responsible and maybe look for other ways to deal with something or be creative? Because there's a creative side to us that we forget about sometimes and do it completely different, think outside the box. And so it's just, there's two books now, Cannolis Exploded and The Gelato Blast.
We've read Cannolis Exploded
many
times to Maggie and Sam.
I actually bought one for any of our friends that had young children.
So we know Cannolis.
You know Cannolis. So this is the second one, A Gelato Blast. And it has a great character that some people think is Gino. And he's Mentor Moose. And he's the coolest of the characters because he just sits and he's super cool.
Mentor Moose. For me, it's, you know, I used to be Downer Donkey. Right now I'm in
Curtis. There's a Downer Donkey.
So is this a project with the children or separate?
Well, okay. So they do have a big impact because, you know, it's me sitting around the table talking to them about characters. And it's so fun and exciting. But at the same time, we have to be cautious because there's a lot of feelings that are hurt if I go with one person idea and not the other. So I'm very careful about it. But we do work with a company called Dinosaur House that puts it all together for us. I think unbelievable.
In the book, there's three characters. And I think the main theme for me was you have Pity Party Pig, Responsible Rhino, and Creative Caterpillar. And we are all three of those characters at the same time. We can be responsible sometimes, but sometimes we pity party. And sometimes we're really creative. We're going to have an entrepreneurial idea or something outside the box. And I think I want the kids to see that. And whatever cards you're dealt in life, how do you respond? Are you being responsible or are you being the victim and being that pity party pig? That's what I want children at a young age to start planting that seed. And I think that's really important. That's what we want to convey through these books.
Yeah.
And how the growth of each of these characters throughout the books, and try to make it in a fun way for a 7 or 8 year old to see gelato melting, creating a river, or the cannoli oven blowing up, and all this stuff, different stuff. It's engaging the children, making it fun for them. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, parents can start that conversation. Because where do you start talking about money, or how do you start talking about responsibility to a younger child? There's not many resources out there that we found. And
we decided.
I think story forms the best. I mean,
absolutely.
It's kind of like, well, gosh, the pig, I don't want to be him. I mean, it's right? very obvious 2/3 of the way through. He's going the wrong way. And I thought it was cool at the end. You know, he's got a glimmer of hope. You know what I mean? Right at the end.
Yes.
But you don't have to say it to the kids. They get it. They're like,
yes,
oh, I want to be the caterpillar.
Right.
He's got it going on. Yeah.
And that's the whole
thing. He must be good at bowling.
Yeah. Yes, bowling. Exactly.
I'm never going to live this bowling. Gino knows the expression too.
Maybe we'll go bowling and post it on Instagram or something. The books are good because I know a lot of adults also need this. And I know that sounds silly, but we as parents sometimes read kids' book and so relate to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's also, you know, I like to put that in there because sometimes we need that encouragement. And they're just super fun. The kids love it. The adults love it. And it just shows that each person is so unique in their mission in life. Some people are super creative and want to go down that path. But some people are that responsible rhino type where they just want to go straight corporate and want to work in an office. Some people just want to sweep floors. We need all these people in the world. And I think that's a good message for children to know, is that whatever path they choose, they're still valued and worth something.
Mm-hmm. We had our foster son super into it, machinery and the garbage man and all that stuff. And I was like, God, I really hope he grows up to be a garbage man. Like, I hope we need him. That level of joy in life, because he was so into it. I'm like, gosh, he would be the, he did love fire trucks too. Some kind of machinery. I'm like, he would be the happiest machine operator ever. And that's what we should do. Like you're saying, people love to do all of those things.
Right.
And so I think sometimes parents get caught up on, I want my child to be a millionaire. I want them to live in this certain location or do the thing. And it's like, gosh, you know what's really amazing? Missionaries and garbage truck drivers.
Yeah.
I'm going to add to that. And this is my optimism of Pollyanna maybe, but I believe the kids can do that and still be very wealthy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as we learn financial intelligence with none of the four of us were taught from a young age, you don't have to make a lot to be able to invest like that slow, steady and accumulate. You know what I mean? And that's one of the coolest things that, I mean, it's easier on certain professions for sure, but other.
You know, I have to put this in, Jim, because you just said something is when Gabriella was a missionary, I said, well, how long are you going to do this for? You know, she's like, I don't know. You know, and I said, well, just so you know, you do have money coming in from the deal that you put money into the deal, into one of the properties, you know, the apartment complexes. She's like, oh, that's right. So I do have money coming in. And she thought about it for a second and didn't realize that she could be doing something that she absolutely loves while also making money with property. And I actually had to think about it for a second. So it goes with what you were just talking about, Jim.
Yeah. Super powerful.
Yeah. I think you have the best of both worlds. Certain things, yes, it can be more so, but other ones, I think that the lack of financial intelligence, which I know we've had hours of conversations.
Absolutely.
Before, it can change everything for a rich missionary, and you can have a poor doctor, a poor brain surgeon. I've met
them. Absolutely.
You know, and so it is such a fundamental. And I think that's one of the reasons why we chose to homeschool and our kids have bought into it. They're like, we don't learn any of this stuff that we learn at events you take us to. And we see how, how fundamental it really is.
Yeah.
Again, their BS detector goes off and they're like, wow, we could really use this.
Yeah. The life skills that they learn. Unbelievable. You know, our 15, when Gabby was 15, I was pregnant. I slept probably most of the day when I was pregnant with our last, and she literally took care of the house. She took care of the kids. She took care of everything. And she was 15 in 10th grade. And I talked to her recently about it. I'm like, she's like, that was actually really helpful. you know, and so you would never get that. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I'm going to use that. Life. So the life skills they learn at home are, they're priceless.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of kids miss that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We could talk to you guys all day. You know. Thank you. Where can people learn more about you?
I guess I'm the one who's going to make the pitch. Huh? She looks over to me and goes, Gino, you're the business guy, right? Just go to jakeandgino.com. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on here. If you go to jakeandgino.com/coloring pages, you can get PDF downloads of the book. You can get activity booklets. There's are like coloring pages for these both books. I think just start there. Just start the journey. And Jim, I'll finish by saying, I agree with you. People with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. Once you get your finances under control, once you can get your money habits under control, you don't need to make millions. You just need to be able to control what you have and just live a life of abundance. And that scarcity is really difficult. I lived a life of scarcity for years. Think of that abundance and think about how, what's the next step to taking control of your future with finances.
Yeah. And we also have a podcast, Julia and Gino podcast.
The Julia and Gino podcast. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would encourage
that's
people,
exciting.
Especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been on that one, right?
Well, Jim, we had you on. Now that I'm thinking about it, we didn't have Jamie on.
Yes.
That was I think you were on our second or third. So we'll have to have you
were
you
on an RV park driving around in the RV. Like, it, I remember
something
you
was happening.
It was really a crazy time. So we got to get you back on.
We'll have to get you both on this time.
Wow. That was years ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, yes. One, you can see it's a better interview with Jamie on it anyway. So
it is.
I think she was probably bowling that day.
Probably.
I definitely was not bowling that day.
Well, we love you guys. It's always great seeing you. We've appreciated. I'm glad you moved here for many reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
It's nice to have you guys.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to having you on for another conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.